We're back on the air. Thank you, Commander.
Thank you, Ed. Much appreciation, Callie. And, of course, Antonio's, we always appreciate your sharing. I would like to express to Callie my appreciation. She takes her discipline extremely graciously. There's not rebellion in any sense of the word. It's how do I serve better? Most of you in here have had an opportunity to meet this lady. And even at the time that she was here, there was still this excitement about a new and wondrous task. And even that changes as the heavy responsibility falls. And yet you see she is as close as this very room. And that's how it has to be kept, or the bombardment becomes too painful, too heavy, and you begin to feel unworthy and you back out. I've been queried by ones who would have radio interviews, and at the top of my list was Soltec. Callie doesn't feel worthy, and especially on some of those radio programs where the assaults are unthinkable, when the enemy knows that you're going to be on and you're set up. And I might have a suggestion for easing that, Ed, in your speaking with Callie, especially with Russ. I mean with Sam. Maybe we could share. It's a 2 hours program usually. And maybe it would be a little easier on the scribe or the speaker if we shared that. Especially if the ones who always set up to call in on that particular program do their calling. It's hard to go out there. It's just fine once you've relinquished and that consciousness is set aside and you allow your speaker to take control. But getting ready, and when the bombardment hits, it's hard, especially those first few times. And then it gets to be rather boring in their constant, ridiculous approach. And yet there are groups scattered around that this is the only way that they can participate. So we must make ourselves available when we can with ones who appreciate that relationship and are not just trying to figure out if on Pleiades they take a bath or not. And you who have listened to these talk radio shows know exactly what I'm talking about. It isn't just when you're speaking to higher command. My goodness, look what they do with everything else. So let Callie know that she's ready, not to fret about it. And don't put it off too long. It builds. It builds in the consciousness. She's got one of the highest energies in the cosmos. And he's perfectly capable of taking it. And it's not her concern. So let's encourage her. Now we'll change the subject and then we'll get out of here. I know that I'm being flooded right now with a lot of inquiries. Well, where are we with the books? Where are we with America West? Where are we? What are we going to do? Well, number one, we are not going to go and take anything from anyone. Please let me put that rumor to rest. That we're just going to go and get those books and move them out. There was some talk about taking some of them, which are our property at any rate, and bringing them into some kind of security somewhere. Then there was discussion about storing all books in case they close down completely, because the intent is, let me tell you first of all what the intent is, to bring an ex parte action, have a motion for a hearing, a motion to show cause, and close them down. No more publishing, no more distribution. All rights for publication would be held. Period. This could be infinitely long. Now, I alerted you once before anything had taken place. For your own confirmation, everything is taking place exactly like I said it would. With one exception. We uncovered their vulnerable spot first, and we were prepared. The trailers were hooked up, everyone ready to go, and it shot their bubble into smithereens for the day, not for the course, for the day. Our attorney was prepared, and he could be in Fresno in court within 4 hours to require that they have a motion to show cause because the Greens were out of country. I guess now you call it off of mainland. Mr. Tipps was able to speak with George Green on several occasions. It did not go well, as you might guess. First, there was large denial. Through a period of time, there had been a statement made that I know one's there, I can get a settlement in this case. What in the world would you pay a settlement for if you hadn't done anything? And if there are not funds to cover the publishing costs, why would you even consider a settlement of anything, on any case? If there are no actions against the court order, why would there even be thought of such a thing? No. They have the proof that banned journals were sold. Now, even the attorney was under the wrong impression. He said, but all of the journals, as I understand it, were sold prior to the court ruling. No. Pay attention. They were sold, money retained, right up through December. Months after the court ruling. Oh, that's very, very serious. Also, so frantic, sleuthing went into locating the Greens to tell them how absolutely serious this is. And Mr. Tipps was met with something less than friendly, saying, well, we might consider letting go of some of them on the basis of notes, etc., owing. And then there were contacts with Grant in Carson City, and he said absolutely nothing will be removed from here until Mr. Green has returned and makes that decision, no matter who says so. So the next phone call said, I will not have anything allowed to be removed under any circumstances until I get back, and I'm not coming back early. I will be there when I get there. So Mr. Tipps was left with, what do we do? Do we go to court? To bring some pressure to at least get Dorma off the hook of a federal court order for her arrest, because now they've got the proof and she's the only one handy. Well, surely enough, the ball was rolling in Virginia. And finally rolled its way up to Fresno, to the attorneys. And they didn't know what had hit them either. Mr. Tipps was already on top of it, which absolutely threw them. And Mr. Tipps warned them about these ex parte hearings, that the law says there should be 24 hours advance notice to the opposition. They knew that in 24 hours you could get up there and have every book out of the place. So their scheme is ruined. Their case is not. I cannot go into this farther, but George has hurt himself desperately. It doesn't matter anymore how it works out in court of law, because the opposition has all the proof they need or want that he was at fault. So he has reduced his capability of counter claims of damages to zilch. That does leave a major problem with publication. On the other hand, the journal in point will go to press elsewhere till all of this can be settled down. But this means something else. Another expense for EJ to figure out how to handle. Until there is funding, there is no magic. And so far, the one thing that could have been making quite a lot of income to run itself, and quite frankly, if the attorneys would ever get their act in gear and get this property case into the proper channels and into the proper court, there would be damages enough in return to run the Constitutional Law Center, because that is where the commitment is. For all funds made on this case above and beyond the expenses to the Constitutional Law Center to stop this crap. And this will pull down the Dinger Doom Doctrine, because already the federal bankruptcy court said this does not apply in this instance either way. So you're making little tiny inroads. But we are not going to stop the laying forth of the word. And if that be intent to stop the publications and get the books off the market, they have failed. And that is hallelujah, brother time, because a week ago they were in within an hour of accomplishing exactly that. Had they acted on Monday morning with you unprepared, they would have everything shut down and everything impounded. There's no point now in them doing it that way. And I know that the ones in this room need constant updating on where we are, because we had to make a decision as a group working on this project, and I use the word group as council, C-O-U-N-C-I-L. And we're going to be doing that more and more and more, as there are things that affect all of you. We have to bring the ones involved together to make these decisions, so that it doesn't look like Hatton has gone and beated out somebody and shot him between the eyes. Now, I can look at something and I can see how it is, and then ask you to look at it, presenting evidence that is available on your place in front of you. But we need the input now of ones of you who participate, so that no one feels either that they are left out, that things are going on behind anyone's back. But with that comes the responsibility of bearing responsibility. It's been really easy to pick and bitch and moan and throw stones at EJ or my scribe. But it's also been easy to say, well, let them do it. And I hear one say, well, I would do it if you just let me. No. There comes also appropriate participation. And very frequently that takes a lot of patience. And sometimes the greatest thing that you can do is be self-sustaining, self-sufficient, and allow this to unfold. This is serious problem time. You're dealing with federal court at its highest level. And you are dealing with scorning a judge in a federal court of law. where he is truly God over your being. And that was a deliberate act, which is simply called contempt of court. I would doubt that he will simply laugh about it. He may laugh. And certainly the behavior of the other side involved most recently has caused him to shake his head as to who he's going to let win. But for the word, it requires a lot of very special attention. So number one, we are to the point where we will wait until we either get a notice of immediate hearing, which would be an ex parte, that can be held in 4 hours of notification, depending on location. Has to be in the Fresno court because that's where the order was issued. If that does not happen, Greens will be back and perhaps something can be worked out. The other side is being very gracious to Mr. Tipps. I don't know how gracious they'll be to America West. They're not very eager, ready, and willing to be anything except close their doors. And that's where we are. Keep the trailers ready. It required that you ones get all the wiring fixed and you've been able to use them for other things. Rick has moved, and I'm very pleased to see that he has room and his capability of work and privacy will be improved. All of you are going to be bombed out of your ever-loving mind like on February 1st. I'm telling you that we have brought you life itself. And as it goes throughout the lands, you're going to be busy. And yet it must be handled as if it were a newborn babe, or they will take it from you. So get as prepared as all of you can and get ready for the glory too, because things are happening. You may not see them, and it may seem to be just stringing you out farther and farther, but much is going on behind the scenes, and you have to make your decisions on what is, not what if. And we'll be fine. Is there any announcement or anything that anyone would like to say before we draw this to a close? A lot of stuff left to be done. And tomorrow I would like to give you a special day to watch the Super Bowl. I'll have to go back through the scanners. Commander, can you remember Oberly? One of them is Judge Dorian, the one involved in the case eludes me.
That one's not familiar to me. Davis?
No, that's a Superior Court judge. Every one of those suckers in Kern County are just miserable. We have a excommunicated judge, those out after judges.
I have a question, sir.
Commander.
Please.
This is Sandy. Today I received a letter from an individual that wishes to remain anonymous. In reading the letter, I find that it expresses not only my own thoughts and feelings, but I think really that for most of the ground crew. And with your permission, sir, I would like to read it.
Well, it sounds like it might be kind of interesting and fun. So I certainly would grant that permission.
It's dated January 30th, 1993, and it is addressed to Commander. We want you to know and hear our thoughts of you toward God. We are most thankful unto you and your crew. An amazing job is being done. We are humbled by your presence. We often feel too small for the task. You are teaching us how great we can be with God. We are beginning to see the wonders occur. Thank you, Commander and crew. It's signed God's Children, and then it goes on. This message was prompted by the awesome powers of the earth, which is called Gaia. And this message from God's Children, please pass this on to the proper entities. We'd like this read aloud, please, Commander, so others may feel of our deep love for you. Consider this from whomever says yea in their heart. And it's entitled A Message of Love. Gaia, life, the mother energy, the nurturer, the wondrous work, the miracle, all these things we call thee. Thou art blessed of us. We hold our hearts close to thee in sleep. With dancing feet, we caress thy loving face in waking hours. We breathe in deeply thy perfumes of perfection. We stand in awe of thy vastness and glory. Yea, we do worship thee with respect. Above all things else, we honor thee. We weep with thee, Gaia, for thy pain. We cry aloud and silently within our spirits as we witness thy torment. We give forth our hands unto thee. Hold tightly, and soon it shall be done, on earth as it is in the heavens. We thank thee, Gaia, for thy continuing sustenance. Thou still nourisheth thy children in the midst of thine labors. Blessed art thou, Mother. We kneel in humble gratitude to thee. We may not tarry long at kneeling beside thy fountain of life. There is much work yet to do. We never forget thee. God, we thank thee for thy wondrous gifts. We acknowledge thy hosts. Come now as foretold. We knew thou wouldst not forget thine promise unto us, Father. We honor and greatly revere Commander Yegor Ceres Hatton. The words he gives unto us are as priceless pearls. To some, his message is as a lightning bolt taken with fear, anger, and a curse against thee. To us, his message is a long-awaited rain, washing away the dust of lies that has settled upon us. We love his gentle, loving manner and his abundant sense of humor. He is shedding a beautiful light on our path. We find joy and comfort in his presence. We anticipate greatly the return of the Christed One we now recognize as Sananda. He has been known to us by many names. We welcome lovingly into our midst Sananda, one with God and creation. We have waited so long for thy return, Master. We long to sit at thy table and feast upon thy truth. And it is simply signed, God's Children.
Thank you. I would accept that. because I want my people to understand that each of you has caused that kind of response. Not me in energy form, but an appreciation for the living allness. And I would like to share that in the paper. Sananda, just the name, causes great confusion, great contradictions, and denial. Pictures come along and great denial. That is God, this is Satan. He had to bear another name to disattach his return from all things come before. To each one who claims him as Jesus, to each one who claims him as standing bare, Wakantanka, because you have to know God and Christ as one is simply a state of Sananda. It's an Egyptian ancient word. And I'm honored to bear the label of Yorgos Seris Eton, Yorgos, slayer of the dragon, Seris, the mother image, the mother nurturing, the feminine aspect of all that I am, Gaia, an Eton god, the son with the father. Thank you. And by the way, to you precious ones who dwell at Inzis, you're blessed. I did not mean to override your wisdom and your responsibility with the dog. But part of the reason that I feel comfort in your location is because of that dog. He has already saved your lives, and you don't know it. If he is unfriendly to anyone, please keep your distance. He's very, very protective of these ones. He has lived at that location for years. And I will not allow him to be gone. They are located extremely near the prism, whereas ones might break out from that place. They would go immediately to nearby dwellers. It's already happened, and because of the dog, there was no incident. The persons went elsewhere. Never underestimate God's plan. Solo. Thank you.